Motion to approve, is there a second?
Second.
Motion is approved and second, all in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the ayes have it. As a brief piece of information on our agenda under other, we have a county investments update today. That will be an abbreviated presentation today, followed by a more in-depth presentation next week, October 4th, at that finance committee meeting. Okay. So, first on the agenda is R156, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract with Good Fellowship Ambulance for employee training of paramedic students for Department of Public Safety in amount of $165,000. Councilman Street. And Councilman Woods has joined us.
Thank you. With the councilman's go ahead, Larry Tan, Chief of Emergency Medical Services. As you're well aware, we initiated a second paramedic academy class that started in March, and as a part of the same thing that we did back in 2014-2015, there are installments at different payment points. This resolution would permit us to initiate a purchase order to make one of the installment payments for the class that's currently enrolled as our second paramedic academy class.
Okay. Any questions from any member of council? Anything from the public? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Next on the agenda is R16-159. Amend the FY 2017 capital program, appropriate $125,000 from the Recorder of Deeds technology fee account to the Department of Administration Information Systems Expansion Capital Project, Row Office System Expansion, to purchase software upgrades to the Recorder of Deeds Imaging Retrieval System. In short, $125,000 being accounted, be allocated to the capital project for an upgrade in software for the Recorder of Deeds Imaging Retrieval System. Any questions from any members of council? Any comments? Anything from the public? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to Ordinance 16-089, amend the FY 2017 capital budget, appropriate $125,000 from the Recorder of Deeds technology fee account to the Department of Administration Innovation Systems Expansion Capital Project, Raw Office System Expansion to purchase software upgrades, Recorder of Deeds Imaging Retrieval System. In short, this amends the FY 2017 capital budget by appropriating the funds. Any questions from any member of the council? Comments? Anything from the public? Hearing none. We will move on to the checkbook presentation, please.
Mike, could you pass the handouts? Just a little behind, we have handouts here that are pretty much the same slides that you're going to be seeing. Afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of council. My name is Russ Morris, Officer of Finance. It's been, I guess, 8 months since the last time I was here to see you to brief you on the FY16 revenue. I was
Thank
here
you.
Back in February of this year, and at that time we said, you know, on the whole, general fund looks like it's going to exceed our budgeted revenues, and the sewer fund looks like it's going to be a little bit short. And when we ended up the year, that's exactly where we were. We were a little bit ahead on our general fund, and we were a little bit behind on our sewer fund. The numbers changed slightly, but there were no big surprises, except for some of the good surprises that we'll talk about as we move along in the presentation. Property tax. This is the largest portion of the general fund. Property tax was 61% of the overall FY16 general fund revenue. We budgeted $112 million. We took in $111 million. One of the reasons we were a little bit short was simply the AstraZeneca demolition of buildings. We lost assessment on that. And if we take that out of the picture, and hadn't included that in the budget, we would have been pretty much spot on for revenues for that year. property tax. This was one of the bright spots. I told you that we had some pleasant surprises. We had budgeted $24.1 million. We actually took in $29
million.
Wow. We expected to do somewhere around $27 million the last time I spoke to you. And you can see that we had some very good months, very close to the end of the year. And one of those peaks was Insight, when they purchased the old Wanamaker's building. That gave us one of our best months ever. When I used to use this scale, we never had a scale over $2.5 million. And if you look back over the past couple of years, we're starting to hit over $3 million a month. Not every single month, but when we have some of these very large sales, they come in. So the very large sales have been helping drive the surplus. But that's not the entire story. When we compare the FY 2016 RTT to the previous year, on all transactions, we were up 13%. That's great. Now, when we look at exemptions, where we get only half of the RTT, and these are the first-time home buyers, that was up 24%. That's a fantastic increase, and that's very important because that means the new, younger, first-time buyers are coming into the market much better than they had been before. Transactions over $500,000, we were up 8%. Transactions between $500,000 and $1 million, we're up 12%. Transactions 1 to 5 million, we're up 17%. The only thing where we stayed the same was transactions over $5 million. But FY15 was a great year. So when we say that that didn't increase, it just meant that we had another great year in RTT. Let's take a look at that over the long haul. Yeah, going back to what a lot of people talk about as the good old days, FY2008, you can see that we took in about $32 million in RTT that year. And then the next year, it dropped down significantly to just under $17 million. And it dropped in every single category. It dropped in the under $1 million, dropped in the over $1 million, it dropped in the exemptions. And it's been slowly making its way back up. Well, the past 3 years have been very good. But if you look at that under $1 million column, 17.6, that's the same as we had back in 2008. So the ordinary sales are just as good as they were back in 2008. And if we look at exemptions, we actually did better than 2008. So that's a very good sign that the RTT is healthy, and we expect it to continue to be healthy.
Okay. And like just on a mental note, the exemptions are $3.9 million. On the other side, we also exempted $3.9 million of RTT from first-time home buyers that the county did not receive, but the state did receive their share.
Mm-hmm. So we're expecting this to be just as good this year. You know, we have a budget that's a little bit lower than this, but we only budget 90% of the estimated RTT. So, we're doing about the same so far this year as compared to last year. If we take in another $29 million this year, that would be fantastic. Realistically, we're looking at $27-$28 million, but there are a couple of large sales out there that are still pending. When they come through, we could see 29, we could see higher. We'll certainly keep the council apprised as we move through.
Let the record show Councilman Bell is present.
Service charges. Yeah, the next largest category that we talk about in service charges adds up to about $19 million overall. In FY16, our actual total was $19.7 million for all the service charges. And this is just an indication of some of the largest ones. Sheriff's commissions, deeds and instruments, corporate filing fees, subdivision fees, 911 reporting. So you can see there, some were up, some were down. Overall, the 16 actuals came in just about on budget for the 16 budget for all of service charges. Let's take a look at some of those. Recorder of deeds. You can see that in FY16, recorder of deeds was significantly better than it had been the year before. Part of the reason for that is the increase in fees that were okayed by council back in April of last of 2015. That took effect in the last quarter of the year. And there was also an increase in the volume. So we saw an increase in fees, we saw an increase in volumes. We went from $4.7 million for deeds and instruments up to a budgeted $4.8, and we took in $5.8. So we were $1 million over budget. We expect to do just about the same for this year. Sheriff. Sheriff has been fairly erratic, and we've spoken about this in the past. We started off with a busy FY15, then the numbers dropped off precipitously. They were still low during the first half of FY15, so we came in under budget. We budgeted $5 million, we came in at 4.4. Well, that was all because of external factors. We'd like to be able to say that it's because, you know, fewer mortgages are underwater, or that there are fewer foreclosures. In fact, it's because of the bankruptcy of one national law firm, you know, that delayed the entire process, so that, you know, now we're back to about where we were before.
Was that Wolf Block?
Butler and Hosh.
That was Councilman Weiner.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yes, Councilman, it was Butler and Hosh. So, you know, right now, here are the sheriff sales, and you can see, you know, they've gone back up, but they've gone back up basically in reaction to the low numbers that we had before. I'd say that we're probably going to see somewhere around 70 to 80 on average foreclosure sales per month, which is still too high. But if we compare that to 2008, 2009, when we were seeing 130 per month, it's improved.
I don't know that you have this answer, but when we're looking at the sheriff's sale data and an increase, an influx or whatever of sheriff's sales, doesn't necessarily mean people are moving out of their homes. These are homes, because I have some in my district that have been vacant and they're just now moving them through the sheriff's sale process. So it doesn't necessarily mean because there's an uptick in the amount of homes going through the sheriff's sale that people are being displaced from their homes. This is an inventory, so to speak, that they pick through and place them in there as well. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm not sure what percentage are vacant.
No, but...
Yeah. And of course, some of them are rental properties as opposed to homeownership
right.
properties. If it's a homeowner-occupied property, yeah, there is a fairly detailed mediation process that's legislated
right.
here in Delaware. On the good side, that means that, you know, people aren't, you know, immediately evicted
right.
from their homes. Yeah, but that also means that the process drags it out, and, you know, whereas other states have seen a significant drop in their foreclosure rates because they've gone through all this inventory, it's simply taking longer in Delaware. But it also means that the real estate market has a chance to improve. So,
thank you.
Yeah, there are silver linings to it. Zoning and subdivision. Last year we took in $1.3 million. We had budgeted $1.4 million. The previous year we took in $1.3 million. We've budgeted $1.4 again. This is fairly typically floats between $1.3 and $1.4. There are some large projects that come out every once in a while, but mostly it's the smaller plans. Building permits. You can see back in 2015, we had $3.6 million. Our budget for last year was just a continuation of that, 3.6. We came in just a little bit lower, at 3.5 million. Most of the fact that we came in lower was because we had slightly lower large commercial projects, but we also had slightly lower revenues from first time or from single family homes. This is a chart again, you know, showing new construction only, just raw numbers of permits, not in dollar amounts. 2015 was our best year in 8 years for new single family building permits. So we had a tremendous year. In FY16, that number dropped. So we had fewer single family homes being built during that year, but it's still bigger than what we saw in 2014. So it's hard to tell whether there was just, unsold inventory, and they're waiting for that to move forward, or this is the start of a new trend. We're watching this very carefully. Single-family home permits are down again slightly the first 2 months of this year compared to last year, but commercial building permits, in terms of value, are certainly up. So we think we're going to do better in building permits, but we're keeping a close eye on this because we want to see those single-family building permits because that's one of the signs of the strength of the real estate market.
Mr. Chair.
Councilman Martin.
Yes, briefly, what's the construction trend on apartment building?
It varies considerably. The largest project that we had in recent years was the Emblem at Christiana. And I believe that was, if I can go backwards, you see that big spike in 2015? Yeah, that included the Emblem at Christiana, and it included some other commercial projects too. Downs Elementary School, I think some of the buildings at Christiana Fashion Center, all of those came in at about the same time. There have been some multifamily units permits. I know that there was one earlier this fiscal year in July, much smaller project, but I can't think of ever since Emblem and before that Meridian, those have been the two largest projects that we've seen, and they come in spurts. I mean, we might not have any for 2 years, and then you get something big like the Emblem, and then this year we've had like one, and it's a small one. It's only one building, but there are a couple of other projects out there that have been approved that are simply pending, waiting for the builders to start them. And for all I know, I could go back tomorrow and find out that somebody came in and took out permits on a very large apartment complex. It's just whatever the market will bear in terms of the number of units that are needed. Some of the other major revenue categories. Recreation, we budgeted $1 million. We took in just about $1 million. The reason you see the variance as a number there is because it was like $300,000 under the actual budget. But everything just averaged out to, the budget was slightly over $1 million, the actual was slightly under $1 million. So when you truncate it, you don't see that. Use of money and property came in almost $200,000 over budget. Intergovernmental revenues, which was one of the areas that we were worried about at the beginning of last year, actually came in over budget, $100,000 over budget. And then the miscellaneous, we budgeted 1.9 and we took in 1.9. Finally, on sewer, as I said last year, we were slightly worried about what we were going to get in terms of non-residential sewer. And here I've compared the non-residential sewer budget, which is the first column, to the non-residential sewer actuals, which is the second column, and we came in slightly lower. We were lower primarily on the commercial and on the apartments. They were under budget. We were also under budget on the residential budget. We budgeted $26.5 million. We took in $26.1 million. So we're slightly over $400,000 short on the residential budget. And as I keep on telling Ed, I said, yes, we were short in the fiscal year, but if I look at July numbers of residential sewer that came in July, we took in $500,000 in residential sewer in July. Of course, now all of that's considered prior year, so it's not going to show. But we were only a month late in making the actual numbers on residential sewer. So we came in very close on this.
Okay, I'm looking again. Just to go over some of the numbers for the fiscal year. Again, these are unaudited numbers. We're right in the middle of our audit as we currently speak. So on the revenue side, we were over budget, our estimate for revenues by about $4.4 million. As Russ stated, that primarily came from the transfer tax. We did very well in the transfer tax collected last fiscal year. The expenditures and encumbrances, we came in under budget by about $2.8 million under what we had budgeted in the general fund. In the sewer fund, the revenues, we came in under our sewer fund estimate, about $1.2 million. As Russ mentioned, some of that came in July, and the other one was just because of the activity in the sewer fund as far as the billings coming in under for some of the industrial and some of the commercial. And on the expenditure side in the sewer fund, we're slightly under budget by about $800,000.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Carter.
Yeah. The sewer fund, so we came in at $1,200,000 short.
Right.
We're balancing this by using the capital recovery fees that we found that we had $20 million, as I recall. And so we're continuing to draw down on that fund of money to balance this. Is that correct?
Correct.
How much revenue or what is left in that?
If I remember correctly, I think at the end of the fiscal year we had like $20 million left in that.
Okay.
And I think we averaged about $6-7 million a year of
budget for $7.5 million out of current fees
that we expect.
Not using the reserves, capital recovery reserves, but we get the current monies on that. That's budgeted $7.5 million.
Hookups during the year.
Okay.
So we have the reserve hookup fees and actual occurrences that occurred during the year.
So this deficit number that we're looking at.
We brought in $73.1 million and the expenditures and encumbrances were $72.5 million. So we actually brought in more revenue than we spent it than expended. The 1.2 is only a deficit showing the deficit we had thought we were going to bring in versus budget. We thought we were going to bring in $74.3 million of revenue, but we only brought in $73.1 million of actual revenue. But we only actually expended and encumbered $72.5 million. So actually, we brought in 73.1 came in, and 72.5 went out the door. So we actually made a little bit of money in the sewer fund this year.
Because of?
Well, we collected more revenues. We spent less. We brought in 73.1.
So we're not really using the capital
recovery. Well, it's part of the actual revenues we brought in. The actual recovery fees during the year.
Okay.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Do we have a percentage on number of people not paying their sewer fees?
Normally it was like 96 or 97%.
If I look at it in the fiscal year basis, last year it was 92.1%. If we look at it
that we collected.
That we collected.
From the current dollars.
I got that.
Her question is, who didn't pay?
I got to reverse that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to make sure everybody in the room got it.
Treasury looks at it on a calendar year basis. And when we look at it on a calendar year basis, I believe we collect 97% of all residential sewer within the calendar year.
Within the calendar year. 92% might be paid. I think it gets billed in January. June 30th, about 92% of people paid by the end of the fiscal year, at end of the calendar year, might up to 97%.
And that's how we budgeted it too, because we figure out what the billed amount's going to be, and then we say, well, we'll get 93% of that this year, and the other 7% or additional amounts will become delinquent sewer, and we'll go into the delinquent sewer during the next year. That's always rolling.
Okay, thank you.
So, to be clear, we fell short in the fiscal year on the residential revenues coming in for sewer.
We estimated.
So, the estimated. But on the revenues coming, we're actually, for FY17, for the month of July, we're actually $500,000 ahead already.
The $500,000 that we received went into the delinquent sewer.
But it wasn't in here. That's what I'm saying. It's not in here. Okay.
This is our financial model showing 2016 through 2020 for the general fund. I would just note under 2016, if you go all the way down to the bottom of the column, just want to go over those numbers real quick. If you add up all the reserves in the general fund as of the end of June 2016, it's $83.9 million total reserves. And how we get that number is, we start out with $49.3 million, remember, we passed the $7.5 million we designated for the DuPont or the economic initiative, so that money comes out. Any RTT money gets taken out of that money also. That's a separate reserve. So the available financial reserves or tax stabilization reserve is $36.9 million. We have our rainy day reserve of $35 million. So the 36 and 35 adds up to $71.9 million. And if you go back and add in the 7.5 and the 4.9, you'll get $83.9 million of total reserves of all reserves and all designations for the general fund. And
What did you pull out for the DuPont commitment that we made?
$7.5 million.
But that's the total.
That's the total.
But we're only making payments annually.
And at this, as of this date, we have not made any payments.
Well, I understand. Right. So I just want to be clear. You pulled the full 7.5 has been
correct
removed from this.
So right.
But that will not be sent in one check. That's a
correct
5-year. Commitment. So I just want to make sure nobody makes a mistake.
That is correct.
Cuts a check, and I got to walk up the street and try to get it back.
That is correct. And at this stage, we haven't paid anything.
Anything, yet, right. Councilwoman Capetta.
But when we
haven't completed.
But when we voted to do that, we had to encumber the whole 7.5.
Right,
is that
exactly.
Correct?
Yeah.
And I just saw that the unaudited general fund financial statements. And if you look at the fund balance, you'll see that designation on the financial statements as we stated we would show
right.
it of $7.5 million.
We had to encumber it in order to make the commitment valid.
To
I just
sure
don't want anybody
yes.
walking out of here thinking we're going to send them a check
right.
for 7.5
exactly.
million because if they default on their commitment, they get no check.
Yep.
Right?
They default on their commitment and we put the money back in the reserves. You're,
exactly.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Sewer fund. Anyway, there's a page with the sewer fund you have. It was here. The sewer fund has the same type of schedule shown for the 5-year summary. So total reserves for the sewer fund at the end of this current fiscal year will be about $45.6 million. That's made up of a sewer fund reserve of $10.1 million, capital recovery fee reserve of $20.6 million. And then rainy day reserve about $15 million. Okay, now CFO Coop was going to go over these next two slides.
While we're waiting here, just let me ask a question if I may, because it's not in here, and I don't know if you have the numbers with you. If not, I'd like to. And that is the seniors and disabled exemption. Which way that has went well, 16, whether I know we've been ticking up. I just think it's important that council keep a track and have an idea of
sure
the way that's
growing
as well, because we know it's growing. Yeah, if you would.
Yeah, that's something we always, when we have our revenue hearing with
right.
council, that's always in that book.
Right.
So we'll be happy to show you the past 5 years and
right. see where we are with this last one in conjunction. But we know that the older and disabled population is growing, and with that is the amount of the exemptions, which reduces our revenue.
And then we have the exemptions also go toward the sewer fund.
Sewer fund as well.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Excuse me, you have an extra? I have one for her
reference.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Cooper?
Good afternoon, Mike Cooper, Finance. I just wanted to give Council a couple additional graphs here to so you could have a few updates on the overall county financial reserve. So you can see the history of them from fiscal year 2005 up through 2016 to have an idea. Ed's already explained the intricate parts of the 129.5. This here is the total, as Ed spoke to, about the general fund and what's in it from the sewer fund. But it gives you an idea as to where the county reserves have come since 2005, how they've gone down and how they've kind of stabilized here over the last few years. And as you talk, listen to Russ or Ed, a lot of the numbers do seem to be stabilizing a lot more. Even the sewer fund, I know there was discussion about the sewer fund and capital recovery. The capital recovery issue that we came up with found in the financials, the $20 million, it's still basically still there, the capital recovery, because as Ed and Russ had mentioned, the capital recovery fees that we're bringing in annually now are around $7 million in that. And that goes down to having built that pipeline to put the sewage
down to the Middletown area back into the county sewer system. Because prior to that, the county was giving approximately 75% of those capital recovery fees to Middletown as part of the agreement, even though we had built the sewer system. So we had paid, we're paying it that service. So those monies are coming back that are going to help the sewer fund down the road, as well as the capital recovery fee that's sitting there to the designation pot. But I just want to put this up here so council would have an idea, can see what's been going on with the available financial reserves, which are all, you know, part of our financial statements. Russ, the next graph, please. The other graph, this graph here, shows the 129.5 here again. The left side in the green is the mandatory budget reserve. That is the total general and sewer that's mandated by ordinance that always has to be there so Newcastle County will never go bankrupt or never go broke. They always have to have this reserve. If it's ever touched, it always has to be replaced annually in the budget. So it'll never be touched. To the right is the other combination of all the capital recovery, the stabilization reserves for the general fund, the sewer fund, the RTT reserves. It's all over there. If it's spent, drawn down, the rating agencies know that we draw down on this. They ask us about it. They're happy to know that we do use it for one-time capital issues. Anytime one-time capital is not to fund the overall operating expense like salary and wages or that. So this is the other piece that is allowable to be used. If it is used, it doesn't have to be replaced. But the reserve, the budget reserve, that's the mandated. That's what the rating agencies really look for to make sure they're not touching into that. And with that note, Mike, if you could hand these out for me too. I have Jeff Stewart here from Public Financial Management. He's our financial advisor that helps with our bond sales. And before I get into the asset management, I wanted to, or the investment update, I was going to have Jeff give a little brief
overview. You're getting ready to do the investment update, right?
Would you like me to do that first?
You're still on this.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to give council a chance for questions before we transition to the next one. So yes, if you've got something else to add, Councilman Street?
This is all part.
Okay, wait, Councilman Street asks this question, then you can continue.
Okay. According to the public press, the allegation is that you're spending more money than you're bringing in. Got the presentation as to what the revenue is from the various sources. You're gonna go into what you're going into, in your capacity as director of finance for the county. Is that question or that allegation that we're spending more revenue than is coming in true or false?
Well, I guess I could answer that two ways.
All I want to know is true or false, yes or no.
From the perspective of the operating budget, it is false. From a perspective of saying, are you using some of the other reserves or other balances to pay for one-time capital expenses, for computer purchases, then one could say you're using more because you're taking that. But that is being used for one-time capital items. At the moment, it is not being used to balance the operating budget. So the answer to the real question is no.
But since there's two answers to a question that I asked yes or no to, the harsh reality is that there's some merit to the allegation that we're spending more than we're bringing in.
Well, here again, if you're using it for one-time items, if the decision was to say we don't wish to use it, although some people have made statements of, well, the government's not meant to be a bank. So if you choose, that's why the rating agencies, they know we have discussions there for using it for one-time items. But you always have the discretion to say, we choose not to use that, therefore we're not going to do those one-time items. That's where I look at it and say, are we spending more? In one sense, one person could always say that.
I'm going to throw in a towel because I realize this is the legislative branch of government. But if it was judicial branch, then I'd say that the answer is not a response, right. Your Honor.
Yeah, because yes. To get off of this merry-go-round, every month I get X amount of money in, Every month I take X amount of money out. If I have money left, I'm working in the black. If I want to buy a new television and I'm $200 short on what's left and I have to go to my savings to buy it, then that's what I've done. And that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilman Hollins and Councilman Carrier.
Well, another concern and issue is that if your reserves are growing exponentially, then there's always the threat of a lawsuit or a tax rebate. So all of the money comes from the public, no matter what account we have, whether it's a reserve account, the rainy day fund is mandated. So even though we take that money in, we're not spending that money. So all of the money that we take in is coming from the taxpayers. But if you have reserves, and we were sued before, because we had looming reserves, and we had to designate the money in which account it's going to be for the reserves. But overall, when you take in all the money that we do have, and I guess one way to look at it is to look at the total reserve balances that we have and see that the reserves have been growing. And that's, to me, in my opinion, that's a very positive thing.
I would agree, and I'm just going to say, in my mind, when we've been overseeing this, we've been doing the checkbooks, that what this county has been doing is operating within the confines of the legal decision that came down as a result of the Cornell lawsuit as far as properly using the reserves and not letting them balloon out of sight, but still using them fiscally responsibly. Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. What I take away from this presentation is that when we went into FY16, we had certain assumptions and budget we made. And because of the robust growth and resumption of a lot of growth in this county in the real estate markets, that we benefited from that with a larger transfer tax that enabled the operating budget to, on paper, go into a surplus situation. And in the sewer side, the same thing pertains to the growth that is going on. And the sewer hookups enabled us to run the sewer budget without a deficit in that. So it's all tied to growth, and we're in a good position with that transfer tax revenue. It could have a negative impact where we make a budget, and as we did one year, and transfer tax came in half of what we assumed it to be. So that's why the reserves are there to cover the tough times. We kind of rode through that, and I think for the foreseeable future, we're going to have a lot of robust growth in real estate, and that will benefit us fiscally.
Mr. Coop, Councilman Bell, and then Mr. Cooper, you have more on the checkbook update. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to weigh in on something here, because you can talk about growth, and you can talk about good times and bad times, but the thing that we miss here, and we fall prey to, and whether it's folks on this council, whether it's the media, whether it's other people running for public office, is that managerially, this county government, council and administration, has managed the taxpayers' monies, not only with good intent, but with good fiscal financial policies. And all you got to do is look at the history. You can look at the ups and downs. So when folks want to throw barbs, they're not just throwing them at someone that's currently in office in an administration. They're throwing it at all of us. And I take exception to it, because I think that a lot of times there's misinformation put out by people that are fed to people. The media has a frenzy on it. And at the end of the day, this council, this administration, past administrations have really done a good job in fiscal responsibility and management, not just growth.
Councilman Street.
I'm going to cut straight to it, because the election's over. And when you have an election, somebody got to win, somebody got to lose. I've sat here for 12 years, and I think we've done an excellent job in doing our responsibility of overseeing the fiscal operation of the county. And I'm glad everybody said what they said today. I wish some folks said some more. Because if somebody comes walking in here in January talking about we broke and we got to do this and we got to do that, and we got to cut this, and we got to raise this, the take from today and our position today should be our, I hope it'll be our position come January, because there are too many things that are important to the people that we represent, the people that put us in office, to anticipate that somebody may want to start cutting services and taking away things that are very, very much needed. So I didn't do this, election's over. I did this in anticipation, like everything else I do. Hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Okay. Complete the checkbook part.
Next piece, I have Jeff Stewart here from Public Financial Management. We've just gotten a recent, the last 2 weeks, recent update from Moody's on our AAA, and I just want to have Jeff review this with you, go over it with you. Jeff Stewart from Public Financial Management. Have a seat there. And then I'll finish the investments.
Just announce who you are, and then you can move right in.
Sure.
I'm Jeff Stewart. I'm with Public Financial Management, and good afternoon, Council President and Councilman.
The President's not here.
Okay, sorry. So what you have in front of you is a copy of a Moody's rating report annually. Moody's rating agency will do a review of the county's finances. Your AAA rating is the highest in the rating scale, so congratulations on that. They also assign an outlook, which is a medium-term view in terms of will that rating change based upon what they see now and based upon what they see looking ahead. And that rating outlook is stable, so that's also the highest and best that you can do. So good work there. Your rating comes from four different criteria when Moody's pulls it together. Those criteria are finances, economy and tax base, debt and pensions, and then lastly, management and governance. And I know, having followed the election, there was a lot of discussion about fund balance. So allow me just to put in context for you your fund balance, which is exceptional, exceptionally strong. It is one of the cornerstones of your credit AAA rating. Nationally, the rating agencies like to benchmark, how does Newcastle County compare to its peer group? Not only within the state, but within the Mid-Atlantic region and other counties that have comparable profiles in terms of assessed value, wealth levels, and an economic base. At the end of the day, one of those metrics is how big is the fund balance relative to your budget? Yours is, if you look here, listed at 51.6% of your operating revenues. Nationally, for other peers, it's around 30%. So you're well, well above that. We also advise some AAA counties who are as low as 5 to 10%. That's cited as a weakness for them, and there's offsets to that. So I don't want to encourage you to go there, but I'm telling you, it's a wide range. And you
if you're encouraging us to go there, I can tell you where you can go. And that's on the record.
So I just wanted to put that in perspective for you. A couple other metrics here. They look at cash balances as a percentage of revenue. Again, 83% is exceptionally strong. Your economy and tax base, you know, there are things that you can control as a governing body, and there are things that maybe you'd like to have control over, but the economy, let's face it, has been sluggish. The tax base, you can provide incentives and do things, but that will change a little bit slower. Your tax base, though, is quite strong, again, on a relative basis compared to your peers. I think that the county, as well as the state and really the region, the city, have done exceptionally well given some of the uncertainties surrounding the DuPont story and the Chemours story as well. It could have certainly turned out a lot worse there, I think. The rating agencies have been watching closely and feel good about where things are right now on that front. A little bit about debt and pensions. And again, I think some of the adjectives in these reports can be alarming when they use terms like weaker. They try to use the same adjectives when they're referring to kind of national benchmarks and whether or not you're relatively weaker or stronger to that. So again, keep it in perspective. If you have a benchmark, are you higher or lower? And they use that adjective as weaker, but try not to overreact to that word. It certainly jumps off the page to me when I don't think weak in anything about Newcastle County, but that's the way they frame it up here. So the debt and ultimately pension liabilities, when they're compared to your national peers, are just slightly above the national average, but again, in very good position compared to most folks and commensurate with a AAA rating. And I think the last part here is if you look at the management and governance, they are looking to see that you are good fiscal stewards, regardless of the leadership and administration, and you're consistent with that from year to year and from administration to administration. I think the county has demonstrated that over the years. Part of that comes with best practices like the checkbook, best practices like having sound reserve policies, and ultimately, you know, the financial operations are balanced, and that when and if you do choose to supplement or add to a reserve or draw it down, there's a rationale for it. So I guess at this point, I don't know if that's enough, too much, too little. I'll be happy to answer.
Councilman Warner, you have a question?
Thank you. Concerns, I'd like to know that whether you've considered them or see how they would impact your projections. Dow-DuPont merger seems to be challenged both in Europe and by other regulators here in this country, including the farming interests. As well, the DuPont pension, although words of confidence have been given by the current CEO, we've seen a majority of the major corporations offload their pension by simply creating a weak sister and loading it up with the debt, or sending it to an insurance company which doesn't come under the federal protections, and then offload the pension debt as well. Have you considered that, or can you give the impact of your projections based upon those factors?
Thoughtful question, and we are aware of the pension concerns that certainly retirees or beneficiaries of the DuPont pension system have.
There Since they're a large percentage of our population base.
Right, and as they go through kind of strengths and weaknesses, maybe 30 years ago, the rating agencies might say a disproportionate amount of exposure to the DuPont Corporation and all that comes with that. And no doubt, if this went in a negative direction, could there be a ripple effect that comes through the state and certainly through this concentrated in this county? Absolutely. I don't think we're in a position to make a really informed projection on that. At least I'm not, and our firm is not. You know, we don't cover the DuPont as kind of an equity research.
Councilman Tackett has joined us.
Well, in the front part of your question,
The DuPont Dow merger, which had been considered a fait accompli, now has serious challenges with a European Economic Union that's flexing much more of its muscle, as well as national interests, including farming interests, that are. And you've seen a number of the mergers, Comcast and others, that have been turned down based upon the three federal laws over the last 100 years that provide a protection of review. So has that been considered? And secondly, what kind of impact would that have?
Well, I'll start by, at least at the state level, and the DFAC, or the Delaware Economic Financial Advisory Council, looks at that closely in terms of statewide, what that would mean for the state from a corporate income tax, as well as other sources of revenue that may be paid by the corporation. Here with a significant property taxpayer, you know, that's something you want to look at, and whether or not that merger goes through and how that affects the property tax receipts is something we'll want to look closely at as more news becomes available on that.
Because the company, DuPont Company, has positioned itself, sort of put all its eggs into that basket, in order to be competitive in the world market. And if that doesn't happen, you know, at some point, DFAC and agencies like yours are going to have to consider that into your calculus.
Right. And just to be clear, I mean, as the independent financial advisor of the county, these are important issues that we'll look at, but we're not a forecasting firm. I just want to make sure that was clear.
But that's all. Thanks. Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, when you look under finances, the fund balances percentage of operating revenues is 51.6. What is the target or the lowest that you think Newcastle County could go to keep the AAA bond rating? 45%, 40? Yeah, you did notice that. I thought I heard you say a couple counties are in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So when you add all that together, what would be ours? Because the people in the 30s must either have a less debt ratio, something has to change them around, or they have a lot of money coming in. the off balance, because there's only 27 counties, am I correct, with AAA?
Thereabouts, AAA. There may be a few that only have two of the three ratings.
But
I think what you said about, you know, what's the right fit for Newcastle County, because...
What is that bottom line that we would see, not even today, but a couple years from now or something, to take a look at?
I certainly think that the current level of where you are is good. I'd start to watch it closely if you were going to bring it down below 50%, because there are other metrics in your overall calculus that may not stack up as strong. You certainly have a very wealthy tax base in terms of personal income levels, higher than normal kind of property values here, so you have that going for you. But you have also maybe some industry concentration in terms of exposure to the banking sector, as well as, like we talked about here,
around 50, that's good. The depth and pensions, you're saying a full value of 0.7. What would be, we have to look at, what is that number? 0.9 or, you know, 1.0?
So the median's around 0.5.
Okay.
And we've seen other AAAs, you know, much higher than that as well. So again, it's any one of these metrics, you can kind of get myopia and look almost too closely at it and dwell on it. But I would not. Pensions get a lot of attention in the capital markets right now. They're probably at the very, very top of the list for all investors when they're looking to see if the financial health of the pension, the funding formula, the funding ratio, given what investment returns have been. And the need to change your discount rate. So you've got low investment returns, a need to likely lower the discount rate. The pension funding is still going to be under pressure for at least the near term. And so I think that's an area, your funding ratio is good right now. It's certainly keep that at its current level and make progress towards the 100% mark. Falling below anything below 70 really gets a negative attention from the investment community.
Okay, so that's it. So we're there almost on that part. Okay. All right, thanks.
On the checkbook presentation, anything from any other members of council and from the public?
Yeah, Wasubak County Auditor, Jeff, I've got a couple questions. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
On that ratio of net direct debt to full value, we're talking about the full value of the pension fund?
No, that's the full value of the assessed value of the county.
Oh, the assessed value of the county.
Okay. I think the 0.7 and the 70% may have been confusing there in the last exchange, actually.
Okay. And I'm assuming in that overall category, debt and pensions, that the liabilities include the OPEB liability.
Yes. So the Moody's has adopted, they used to just look at only your debt. Okay. And they kind of treated this fiduciary responsibility you had to retirees as pension liabilities as a separate kind of different type of liability. Mm-hmm. Now they've realized that you need to kind of add them together and look at the cumulative pension, cumulative debt and pension liability.
Okay.
And that's consistent with some of the GASB, I'll tell you, regs.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Council, okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Coop.
Yes, one last thing.
Wrap this and then move to the next.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, one last thing about Mike Coop Finance on the investment side, on investments, as Councilman Smiley said.
Is that where we're into now?
Yes.
We'll close out the check for presentation, just to make it clear. Okay. And this is an abbreviated presentation.
Yes,
we will have a more in-depth presentation on October 4th.
There'll be a more in-depth, as Councilman Smiley said, on October 4th. The manager in charge of my cash management right now, Ken Porter, he's preparing an intense PowerPoint of our investments, process, procedures, and so we'll be presenting that on October the 4th. But I did just want to let you know that currently our investment manager contracts are finally in the final process, and the funds that have been with UBS will officially be deployed amongst various investment managers. And currently, you know, what's been happening with UBS is most of our funds have been invested mostly in bond funds with short durations, because in anticipation of getting into the investment managers, which is where then the finance department's projections and that will start to come into play. So
so that a lot of the investments will go into longer durations to earn at least a few more basis points as it can on its interest. But I just want to let you know, too, as Kenneth told me, at 6/30/2016, our total investments, including our trust, was about $193 million. Probably this last month, it was probably up around $355 million. But here again, it's because taxes are coming in. And because that money's coming in, it'll be going out as fast as it's coming in, too, because a lot of it belongs to school districts. It's just a number at a point in time. So whenever people, you know, give information, it's always about a point in time. So. But anyway, I just want to say that, yes, next week, October the 4th,
okay,
we'll have...
Just a quick question. So we're in the end of the process.
Yes.
Are the investment contracts signed? Do we
yes.
have the contracts signed?
Yes, finally.
They're done.
Yes.
So now we're going to move. Now
yes,
the contracts are signed. We move forward with the dissemination of the funds to the appropriate investment
right.
account.
And these are just the funds that were
right.
moved to UBS. I mean, there's still 40
right.
some million, you know, of the reserves or the
right.
cash balance, however you want to term it, fund balance, that's with Wilmington Trust also
right.
as an investment manager. So it's not that it's all with them. It's still has other areas too.
Right. Okay.
And that will all come up to see next week
okay.
in the PowerPoint.
Any questions from members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, look forward to the in-depth but brief presentation next Tuesday. Thank you. Okay, next we have the Newcastle County grant request / community events. We have the SUN Safe Neighborhoods Incorporated. Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Safe Neighborhoods Incorporated operates on the east side of Wilmington. They have been very engaged with stopping the violence in one of the most challenging neighborhoods in the city, and I've funded them for the last 3 years, I believe. Unfortunately, they had a fire this past year and lost a lot of the things that they already had. They're asking for $2,500 for additional safety vests and supplies for kids in elementary schools in the area. And I'm going to make a motion to grant them $1,200.
Motion for $1,200. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Not voting. Okay, that's it for council grants. Is there anything under the expense and revenue roundtable? The next one, some of you may have on your agenda. I don't know if a revise got out. Councilman Taggart has withdrawn that temporarily while he reviews some information. Okay. Anything for the expense and revenue roundtable? Anything under other? Councilman Street.
There's constituent who I think has something
to talk about.
Okay.
I wanted to get back to. Yes, hold on, gentlemen. My name is Paul, and ladies. My name is Paul Berry. I'm the director of New Rising Community Center. I'm currently working with Mr. Hollis and Mr. Street knows me. We opened up a community center about less than 2 years ago on Concord in Washington. Give you a little history of the neighborhood. That's where this guy got shot in the store broad daylight last year. 5 o'clock this afternoon, 5 o'clock in July afternoon, broad daylight shooting. And we currently house 22 kids. You know, we don't have any, we were working with Horizons. Horizon Services pays our rent, but we have a budget that doesn't carry anything. I work basically for free, but I work for free till we get money. We need the county's help. You know, we got some money from the city, which was $2,500, but we have 22 kids that come into the center, 6 days a week. We were open 7, I have to take a break. And I'm the only person there with one volunteer. We're getting them involved with their schoolwork where they have to do their schoolwork. So we're putting in brutality, anger management, conflict resolution. This is the only place in this neighborhood these kids got a place to go to. They don't feel safe at a park. I could bring them down here to have a conversation with you guys and let you see what they're going through on a daily basis. I'm moving into the neighborhood. I live right across the street from my center. So I'm there basically 24 hours a day. We need your guys' help. I have some paperwork I got to finish with Mr. Hollis today, but we need help. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else under other? Councilman Hollis, then Councilman Woods.
I believe through my office, we are working on a grant request, but what a lot of our constituents don't realize that the council grants are very small. We don't exceed $2,500, and as the request I just got council support for today, they asked for $25. I normally don't give $25 because there's so many requests, but the grants from us is very small, so I encourage folk who are looking for substantial amounts of money or more money than what you can get from this body to go through CDBG, Community Development Block Grant Funding, which is a lot more money, and it's designed for those types of agencies. Now, it is competitive, as you all know, but you have an opportunity to get far more funding than you would be able to get from council. That's just the reality of the system. There's no additional funding that county council has, and it's not in our budget. So the only thing we budget here is small grants for each council member's district. Beyond that, the next available source would be Community Development Block Grant, which is an annual allocation that you have to apply for and compete for. That's my recommendation.
Okay. Councilman Woods, you had something?
I just wanted to bring up these two firefighters that passed away. I know the Wilmington Fire Department, they've started a GoFundMe account for these two officers, and they're doing some other stuff, I think, for the other two. I don't know what we can do, but I know we're working on this resolution, and I'm hoping that we can make some sort of donation to that.
I would recommend you work with the co-chairs of public safety on that, and maybe we can get a letter or something, and maybe we can go through the other fund that we have available. We can do that with a letter, but we've got to have some document to come forward. Okay. Good enough?
Perfect.
And October 4th is our next meeting, so we have something, have you working forward. You know the balance in that account on top. Okay, just confirm it up and get it to Councilman.
Chairman, we'll probably save a set of chairs and get together with Councilman Woods and Jim Boyle.
Mr. Boyle will deal with you with what the balance is on that. Okay, anything else under other? Councilman Street.
And it's in your district, and I don't want to upset you. By the same token, you know, there's limitations to what we can do, but the work that you're doing and the work that needs to be done, in my opinion, that's in your district. And I'm not trying to overstep any bounds. It's one of the most dangerous quarters in Tampa. Repeated shootings, repeated murders, and there were two Lutheran volunteer houses, one of which was right down the street from there, and the Lutheran volunteer organization decided that it was not safe for that second house to be there. So now the Lutheran volunteer house did hilltop operates, houses all the Lutheran volunteers, and that's just one indication. So separate and apart from what we can or can't do, it's a major problem, and quite frankly, I think that whole area, that corridor on Washington Street, and that crossover is something that needs to be looked at collectively by the state, county, and the city, because, you know, when it's to the point that people are trying to get food out of the church at Shiloh on 23rd Street and people are dodging bullets, it's out of control, it's been out of control, and something needs to be done with it. So I just want you to know that I'm aware of it. I look at it like that, and as far as I'm concerned, the work you're doing is very much needed. And that whole corridor there needs to be dealt with. And it's going to take more than the city.
Councilman Holmes.
No, I certainly agree with Councilman Street. I mean, we have a lot of dangerous areas in a lot of parts of the city. The Safe Neighborhoods United that I just gave a grant to, they're at 22nd and Market Street, probably as dangerous as Concord and in Washington. That's where actually an officer was shot, state police officer was shot there. And there's been a number of murders in that area. So we have these hot spots all over the city. The only thing I'm suggesting here is that if you come to county council, there's a limitation. And if you look at the history of my grant giving, for the most part, it has gone to these types of agencies, whether it's going to be a youth team or something, Duffy's Hope, or someone who's on the front line or trying to find some resolution to all of the violence that's going on. So whatever we can do, I'm all for it and very supportive of it. But if you're going to come to my office for a grant, I have to be very realistic about what my limitations are.
Okay. Councilman Street and then Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I'll belabor the point, but I think what you're doing grant-wise is great. But concern I have is he's working with the kids who live there. The predominance of the ones creating the problems are not from there. All right, and they come and go, and a lot of them going end up right sitting in our lap, right in Chief Seddon's lap, and there's a direct correlation with the crime that's going on there, some of the gang activity, and again, it's bigger than the city, and I think consistent with what I've been screaming about for the last 12 years, there needs to be interjurisdictional responsibility to break up that corridor and some of the other areas in the city that everybody knows what's going on there, and the data speaks for itself. So it's not being critical of you. It's just being empathetic to the situation. And yeah, we've got new administrations coming, and I'm going to start beating my horn now. Okay? It's going to take more than the city. It's going to take all three governments together to shut down this problem. So yeah, I'm getting started early.
I'm going to let the guests, one quick moment, go ahead. Yeah, that's yeah, you. Identify yourself again, please. And then we'll go to Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Tack.
Director of New Horizon. I wasn't saying that we're not ready to pull up if you try to get from the smaller branch. I'm just like Mr. Streets. We're in a position, I'm on the battle line every day. You know, I mean, we're just there. That's what we do. You know, I'm not an office material. I'm a grunt. And the reality is that, you know, once we get something in base that's there 7 days a week, we should look at taking advantage of the situation and see what we can do to pull our resources together, not only as a council, but as a county, state, city, and the federal government. And I need your help to do that. It's just not about myself or a small grant or something like that, but as a whole. And like I said, I'm willing to shovel the dirt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, you have a topic.
Yes, I have a different topic. If yeah. Mr. Tackett was on the same topic.
Did you want to speak to
this,
or?
Topic to
see a little bit, but I didn't
mean. I want to be different completely.
Okay.
I always want to be different.
I know.
I know, come on. No, I was only going to say that, you know, I've been very quiet also, and as this gentleman has said, as he's come in, you know, we have a far-reaching problem, and the councilmen have said too, and all we have to do is look at our reports that we received from the police. We had a shooting down in Wellington Woods. I have them running rampant down through there at Sparrow Run in the Glasgow Trailer Park in Wellington Woods, and it's something that we need some type of an overall plan with. The police chief that, you know, knows me real well, because I'm always on the phone to him and all of them down there with everything going on, and we're going to have to come up with a plan, and again, and I'm going to be joining the councilmen. We're going to become very vocal as we move into this, because something has to happen, and we're going to have a plan, and it's going to have to come in. And if we're going to have to start bringing them in here to sit in front of us, we're going to have to do it. But we're going to have to do something that's going to have to get control of it.
Let me know when you figure it out. Councilwoman Kilpatrick, because I know the chief's been trying.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Since Councilman Woods brought this up, I don't know that all of you know this, but one of our lieutenants in the paramedics is the ex-wife of Chris Leach that died in the fire in Wilmington. And I think Larry has a few comments that he would like to make at the moment, if he can.
Larry Tan, Chief of BMS. I would just suffice to say that this is probably one of the most critical incidents that anybody could respond on under the circumstances. And I think it's very raw. I think you can hear it in my voice. For anybody that's been in a uniform service, been a part of public safety, understands that an incident like this has ripple effects throughout the whole community. There are professional relationships, there are personal relationships, and it's inside and outside the entire department. What I will say is that I'm extremely proud of everything our personnel did on that scene, and how they're taking care of each other now, and you should be equally as proud. They handled business that night, and they did everything humanly possible.
Thank you. And just one last comment. Kelly was on the scene that night that her ex-husband died. She was working.
So as I said, it's very raw.
Thank you. Anything else under? Councilman Woods, then Councilman Street.
And just so everyone knows, at the Ellesmere Firehouse, every night this week, they're, all the families are kind of meeting there, not the families of the victims, but of the firefighters, but all the firefighters in the area. They're feeding them, they're doing stuff. If you stop by, we'd like to see the support, because as of last night, I was the only one that stopped them from state to everybody, and they were very happy to see that. So if you stop by any time this week, so between 6 and last night it was like 6 to, they're there all night, so but be good to just show up and give your support. So.
Councilman Street.
The first responders family, as a family, city, county, state, and actually at this point outside the state, have come together, and everybody's trying to work through this together. And I don't speak for the city of Wilmington, but I certainly appreciate all the support and assistance that the city has gotten through this tragedy from other fire companies, throughout the county, throughout the state. And I happened to go to the hospital in Chester Saturday morning, and the reception that we got from folks in Pennsylvania and the assistance we got was just outstanding. So, you know, first responders families have come together and very appropriate, very much appreciated, man.
Okay, anything else on the other? In public comment. Can I get a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You can stay by yourself. Thank you very much. Motion approved.
Community services at 3:00.